helping people out. Yeah, they're just an incredible couple, and they're moving home to Australia tomorrow, after 2 years being here, being part of our church and being part of our community. So we just love you guys so much, and we have a little gift for you guys. And I wonder if we could all just we could pray for them as a church. Does that sound good? Oh, okay, I meant to ask you what you're doing as well. So why don't you just, Chris, tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing now.
I'll be teaching at a Christian school, and it's not just a Christian school in name, it's overtly Christian. And we prayed at the interview, for example. So it's really exciting, and I know God is taking both of us for something really fresh, where we're going to be able to sow into lives and advance his kingdom. So we're just so excited about what God's doing, and we just bless you guys. You've been an incredible blessing to us. We've just received so much. People have said that we've given, but we've received more than we've given.
And I'm having a holiday.
well deserved. Well, if you can stand to your feet, I mean, like if you're not pregnant or something with child, stand to your feet, and let's just take a moment and just bless them. But Ryan has to stand. I know Ryan's pregnant by extension. Father, we just thank you so much for Chris and Rose, and Dad, we just love them. And although we're sad to see them go, Lord, we're so excited about what's to come. And Father, we just pronounce blessing over them, Father. Lord, would you bless their finances and their relationship as a couple and family, Father, all their possessions and all their comings and goings and their relationships, Papa. Lord, as they go into a new church there, Lord, I ask that they'd be blessed in everything they do. And Lord, I thank you this is a new season of new dreams and new desires coming to like fruition. God, things that they've only thought about and they've only kind of wished for in the back of their minds, Lord, in the back of their hearts, God, those things are coming to pass now. They're bursting through the ground now and starting to grow, Lord. And we just say yes to all the dreams in their hearts, Father, all the desires that are of you, God, in them. We bless them. We thank you so much for them, Father, and Lord, for all the time and energy and money and strength and love and care they've poured into our congregation. Lord, we ask that you would pour back into them 100 times what they poured into us, Papa, as they go and as they get settled and as they find a new community there. Lord, I ask that the blessing that is on our church, on our house, God, would rest on them, that they would walk with wisdom and with peace, Papa, all their days. We bless them, and we thank you for them, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. So make sure you give them some hugs and love later. All right. Well, let's look at Advent again. Like Ruth said, next week is our last Sunday in this place until the second Sunday in January, which is the 9th or the 10th. 9th? 9th? 9th. All right. I wanted to, Marcel's preaching next week, and he's going to kind of conclude this whole series. I want to start drawing things to a close by looking at another element of Advent. I know we're like hammering this home. And that's worship. Because a major part of the story of Christ coming was worship. And I want us to look into worship a little bit today and kind of let it illuminate our hearts. A couple weeks ago, I touched on Romans 12:1, which was, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So the Bible makes it really clear that our act of worship isn't some ceremonial act. It's just like a daily living our lives for God. Is that vague enough for you? Is that good? I was thinking about worship this week, and I was thinking about the difference between public and private worship, because in fact, both are really necessary. So when we get together in a place like this, and you know, Jess and Bonnie and Marcel lead us in some songs, I mean, songs aren't worship, right? Songs are just tools that help us worship. They help us express our hearts. So songs themselves, like God's like, "That's so nice you're singing me a song," but what he's really impressed with is like the meaning behind it. Right? It's the same way, like when I give Sarah a gift, when I give her a card, the words in it are nice, but it's me giving the card that means the most to her. It's not the fact that someone else in like Seattle or something printed this on the paper, right? It's me. This is now my expression to Sarah of my love for her or my apology. And And with the Lord, it's the same way. When we worship, when we sing songs, and Marcel leads us in a song, and we sing those songs, "All I Need Is You, All I Need Is You, Lord." What really gets God's heart, what he really loves, is the fact that it's us. It's our expression. Which is one of the reasons why we love to kind of create opportunities in our worship sets for us to sing our own song, to sing a new song to the Lord, right? It's so important that we're continually presenting our own kind of voice to him. Anyway, so this public kind of worship that we do together, or we could also call it like corporate worship or communal worship or community worship, is really important because it's all of us together. And so Ruth's over there singing and I'm over there singing, and together we're joining our hearts and our voices, literally, in singing a song to him, in an expression to him. That's actually really, really powerful. Because then you look around, and if you come in and you're having a bad week, and you see Ruth singing "All I Need Is You," it reminds you that, like, wait, all of us together, we're all going through this together, and we're all loving God together, and it is getting better, and he is for me, and man, I love this, God, and how awesome is it that we can all sing together, right? There's something powerful that happens when we all get together and we sing. So public worship's actually really, really important. Paul makes it really clear. He said, don't forsake getting together with your brethren, with your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and worshiping together, because there's power in that, right? Private worship, on the other hand, is also really incredibly important. And it's one of the things that we often forget because it isn't as easily laid out as like a Sunday morning service is. You roll out of bed, you make some toast, you put on some clothes, you come here, and Ruth and the team, or Marcel and the team, will lead us in glorious worship, and we encounter his presence, we have an expression laid out for us on the screen, and we go home. It's nice and easy, isn't it? It is. It's like a gift card. It's so easy. Swipe, done. Very little investment. And no, that's not true. It's really nice, but it's different when it's individual. And I think sometimes we neglect the individual private worship in our lives. And I find this sometimes when I'm counseling people and they're going through a hard time, a difficult time. And one of my first questions to them always is, well, what's things like between you and the Lord right now? How much time are you spending with him? Well, things are so busy and I'm stressed out anyway and he's not meeting me anyway. So I've done this. Starts spouting all these falsities, all these lies, right? God's not meeting me right now. He's so far away, or I've just been so busy and I haven't been able to. And then I'll often just say to them, well, like, how can you expect to be on track with him if you're not spending any time with him? You know, we need to be continually spending time with him. And it's not like that makes God love us more and so we get more of him, right? Of course, we've gone over that a million times. But what it does is it reconnects us to him. It reconnects us to his heart, reconnects us to his vision. It lets our mind not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to him, but to what he thinks. What's that, Ruth? It refocuses everything and our vision on him. Absolutely. Thank you, Ruth. So our private worship is just as important. Now, it doesn't mean you have to like throw on a CD every day in your room and spend, you know, an hour singing songs to him, although it may look like that. That's actually a really powerful and beautiful way for you to connect with him if you want. Have a little date with the Lord every day. But it could just be intentional, like 5 minutes in the car. You know, I talk about this a lot, church. We need to be doing this. We need to be having our private time where we worship him, where we honor him, where we recognize who he is, where we give him our lives. We present our lives as an offering. Okay. I want to look at Matthew chapter 2 because I want to talk about some of the first worshipers of Jesus. And this is in Matthew 2, verse 1 and then 9 to 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, came during the time of King Herod, Magi, also known as the wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Sarah talked about this last week. I just still think it's astounding. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. A couple things are really interesting. I cut out a few of the verses. I think it's in verse 6 or 7 where the wise men, the magi, go and meet Herod, and they say, well, there was this prophecy, and they quote this prophecy from Isaiah. These like pagan magi, they're familiar with the prophecies, and they've put like the pieces together, so they know that this star that's moving somehow is related to that prophecy in that religion that they're not a part of. They put all the pieces together and recognize that's it. And they actually tell Herod, well, this is that prophecy. This is the Messiah. This is the king of the earth who's come to the earth. And we know that. And Herod's like, oh, wow, okay. I just think it's really interesting that like these guys from afar, these pagans, have recognized truth. And I mean, like, I just love this. These are like the first people that come to the Lord without anybody like shoving it down their throats, right? Literally, they come to him without anyone shoving it down their throats. They just have a revelation of who he is, right? They have knowledge and wisdom, and actually God used that knowledge to show them the way to him, which is really cool. Now, how awesome would it be if you and I could be part of that process with people around us? You know what I mean? I used to have these people in university that I would like, that I would just like pray for, but from afar. Oh, Lord, show them the way. Don't involve me, but show them the way, Lord. Because they're scary. Because I don't want to have to talk to them. I don't want to have to argue with them. I'm not prepared for that. But show them the way, right? And I'm not saying that there's a huge responsibility on us, but we can be part of that process. Anyway, this is now a rabbit trail. It's not going anywhere valuable. Let's move on. Worship. Okay, so I want to talk about three ways that the Magi worshipped him, and then we're gonna pray a little bit, and we're going to worship a little bit more today, actually. The Magi came, and they worshipped him as three different things, as king, as priest, and as savior. And in fact, all of our worship can kind of be boiled down to these three things. Now, the king one, we can also kind of put the word father in there, king or father. But when they came to Jesus, they came and they honored him as king, as priest, and as savior. And they did something really interesting and obvious in their honoring of him as king, priest, and savior. What did they do? Gifts. They brought him gifts. Gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Right? How many of you have heard these things mentioned a million times, seeing your little nativity sets with the gold, frankincense, and myrrh in little boxes, right? And who the heck knows what frankincense and myrrh are? Gold, of course, this is easy, right? Gold is a gift for royalty. It's precious. It's very valuable. Gold is kind of self-explanatory. I mean, if I give my wife a gift of gold, it's something valuable and something precious. Just your thumbs up. Something valuable and something precious. So we have kind of an understanding of gold. And in fact, it's so cool the way gold has, like, there's probably some prophetic significance to gold that's just escaping me in this moment. But that's like, it's endured. And there was originally the gold standard up until about 100 years ago, where like all currency was based on gold. Because gold, we recognize its value, right? And so them, in recognizing who he was and his value, decided, let's bring him some gold. Right now, the second one is frankincense. Now, frankincense is a resin, which means that it comes from a tree. So they would like how we get like maple syrup? They would like tap a tree and the maple syrup comes out and then they boil it down, we have maple syrup. With frankincense, it's the same way. With frankincense, it comes from the Boswellia tree they would dry it. And it actually, in the ancient world, was used for treating depression and like sadness. And in fact, frankincense, if you look in the word frankincense, this is what I teach my grade 10s preparing for their literacy test this year. I'm like, if you look in the word, you'll find another word. And in the word frankincense, you see the word incense. Because frankincense was often used as incense. It was used in like holy rituals. And ancient people burned frankincense, believing it to carry their prayers to heaven. And when the Magi came and they brought frankincense to him, they were basically saying, you're our priest. You're going to be our priest. And so here's our frankincense. Here's basically the prayers of us, which I think is so interesting. So all this prophetic symbolism in these gifts, right? Okay, and the last one, and this one really killed me, is myrrh. Myrrh is also a resin. It's made from dried up tree sap. And myrrh is an Arabic word for bitter. It's considered a wound healer because of its strong antiseptic and anti-inflammatory properties. It was also an embalming ointment that was, in fact, myrrh was one of the burial spices of Jesus. And I think it was really interesting that the Lord or the Holy Spirit just kind of prompted the Magi to bring him myrrh, not knowing that like he was going to be buried in 30 years and they were going to use myrrh to embalm him, but as a symbol of him as our Savior. And so part of their worship included what would normally have been used for embalming. It's kind of an obscure or an absurd gift, and yet they brought that to him as part of their worship, right? Okay, so and some of you are like, Andrew, move it along. Okay, so I want to just reiterate these. Gold was worship for a king. Frankincense was worship for a priest as intercession, as incense. And then myrrh, because he's a savior. And so we, in the same way, like every day, and kind of relating to Romans 12:1, we bring him gifts. We bring him our life as a gift. Our life as an offering. Now, did you know that God doesn't need anything? Okay, well, God doesn't need anything, if you didn't know that. God's not impressed on a Sunday when you put an offering in the offering bucket. He's not impressed like by the gift. He's impressed by your heart behind that. So the only reason we give is to become more like him, because he's a giver. So God doesn't need our gifts, but we have this beautiful opportunity to bring him love and to bring him worship. Now, I want to use me and Sarah's life as another example, and our marriage, because we really have pretty much everything we need. I mean, like, I'll go buy some groceries, and then we're set kind of like week to week. But in the, like, routine of day-to-day, occasionally I'll, like, buy her flowers or something and surprise her. It's not necessary, and she doesn't need it, and she could go out and buy flowers herself. But there's something really, really nice and really special in this little expression of me picking up flowers for my wife. And it's exactly the same way in our worship, right? When we bring something to the Lord, not that it's necessary, but it's something beautiful, and as a response to the love between us and him, when we bring something to him, like our life, it's like a beautiful expression of who we are and what we have, you know? So when we bring him gold, the Lord was kind of unpacking this for me. He's like, Andrew, all of our worship can kind of be divided into these three areas. When we bring him the gold of our lives, we bring him the best of our lives. We honor him as king. And this sometimes we forget to do, right? Like, we'll come to him when we're having a bad day. But when we're having our amazing days, it's our first inclination to go to him and to say, thank you so much for this awesome day. I'm so glad I got that job. You're so great, God. Or it worked out. Oh my gosh, it totally worked out. Thank you, Lord. I did that awesome effort on that test. God, you're awesome. And in fact, this is a huge part of our worship that I think we can all grow in, guys, is actually bringing him our best. Because I want you to think about, again, an agrarian society. Think about the Old Testament. Think about that society where most of it is based on either trading in like a marketplace or farming. And you would bring to the king, or you would bring to the ruler of your area, you would bring to them the best. You'd bring, as part of your taxes, you would bring some of that grain. You'd bring a lamb, or you'd bring, some gold. That would be part of your tax, be part of your respect, part of your payment to that leader, right? To that ruler. And in the same way, you and I do this every day and are called to do this every day, to bring our lives, to bring our best to him as worship. So what does it look like for you to bring your best in worship? What does it look like? What does it look like for you to bring your best? When you have your best days, how do you bring that as worship? When you're on those, like, on the mountain peak, kind of like you've been like climbing for a long time, and you have those that like week where you're like, man, this week is awesome. How do we bring that to the Lord? Now, part of that is like through just like saying prayers and giving it to him, and absolutely thankfulness. Sarah says thankfulness is the best basket to carry blessings in. If we live in thankfulness, then we can look down and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so blessed. Look at all these different ways God's blessed me. And then we never enter into, oh, God's not blessing me zone, right? And so thankfulness is like such a big part of it. I love that the Bible actually tells us to cultivate thankfulness, like you would cultivate a garden. Like, make it grow. Paul says, make thankfulness grow in your heart. Water it, prune it, pick the fruit off of it, dig, put some manure in there. We need to do that with thankfulness in our hearts. It's like a muscle that we have to work at. So anyway, we have to bring him our best. We have to bring him the gold of our life, the most valuable stuff, right? And that's one of the reasons why actually giving money is a beautiful expression of worship to him. But either to like a community like this church or to others. It's actually a beautiful expression because it is really valuable to us, our money. Let's face it. And we know that's the case because often when people talk about money from a microphone in church, people get offended. And that's because, me included, and that's because money's really important to us. Money and time. When people talk about money and time, don't tell me what to do with my time. Don't tell me what to do with my money. It's because it's really important. And so when we give God our time and we give him our money, or we serve others with our money or serve others with our time, In fact, he's hugely blessed by that because he knows it's actually really valuable to him when we're bringing the gold to him, or bringing him our gold. Frankincense. When we bring frankincense to him, it's the incense, it's the prayer, it's the times of questioning, and it's the times of wrestling. And I think sometimes we're afraid to bring this stuff to the Lord as well. I think sometimes we think like our worship just has to be based in the gold stuff. Well, I come to church, I sing about the goodness of God and how much he loves me, and then I go home. And then my prayer life is based on my laundry list of things I need him to do for me and an occasional thankfulness prayer. But in fact, he wants us to come and live in that relationship with him, that communion with him, that intercession with him, where we are actually like having an ongoing conversation about a topic with him. God, I need you to come in. I need you to work in my family. God, it's not working, and I know you're faithful. What are you saying about it, God? What can I repent for? How can I practically be part of the solution? Let's face it, we all can grow in this area. And did you know that your intercession, that when you go to him and you pray to him as our high priest, I love that Hebrews calls him our high priest, who can sympathize with us in our weaknesses. So when we go to him in those moments of weakness, or when we go to him in our desperation and we wrestle with the kingdom, we wrestle with this earth, in fact, that's worship. That's worship. And the opposite of that is independence. The opposite of that frankincense for our priest is independence. When we rely on ourselves and we push back into our ability to deal with situations on our own, we are saying, I don't need you as my high priest. I don't need you as my go-between. I don't need you as my access to heaven. Right? And I do that. We all do that. And then we have a week where we're doing that, and then we get really frustrated with ourselves as our high priest. I'm a crappy high priest. I know that because I get frustrated with myself. I'm not a good intermediary. What I need is him. God, I need your perspective, and I cannot do it by myself, and I'm desperate for you. And he sits up in heaven, or everywhere he is, in my heart, and he's like, I love that. That's worship. That's tasty. And the last one is myrrh. And I think this is another area that we forget to bring worship to him in. This is when things die. We forget to bring him worship. We forget to bring him these areas of our lives when we have to let go of stuff, both good and bad. There are moments where we die to stuff. We let go of a dream, and it hurts, or a relationship gets broken, or someone passes away, or something happens that we don't understand, and there's a death in our hearts. And yet he's our Savior. He has endured and destroyed death, and robbed death of all of its power. And again, in those moments when there is death, our natural inclination is retreat and move into independence, when in fact, he's calling us and has created us to come to him and to worship him in those moments. And to say, okay, God, Romans 12:1, I'm supposed to bring my whole life as an offering to you. That's my gift. That's my act of worship. So here's this death. Here's this myrrh. It's used for embalming. All I see in this is death, but I want to offer this to you because this too is worship. And when we do that, guys, it's incredible what grows out of that. It's incredible what comes out of that. And it's incredible the way that that takes down our walls and allows us to have his perspective and have healing flow. I want to tell you a story. I think I may have told this before. When I was... probably like 18 or 19, I'd been, you know, involved with music for a number of years at that point. And I was involved with the musical kind of department of my church, not this church, but a different church. And I thought quite highly of myself. And one day I wasn't involved in the worship team. I was just kind of sitting in the church, and we were all standing and we were worshiping. We were singing a song, and the worship leader was singing a song that I particularly liked. And so I was really worshiping because I really liked the song. And so I had my hands up and I was singing my perfect pitch harmony on top of the part that he was singing. And I was like really impressed with myself. And there was this lady, I still remember, about two rows back, and just kind of where that speaker is. And I'm singing and I'm like, I got my little sway going. And again, I'm singing like right in pitch and I'm quite impressed. And I'm sure the Lord is up there going like, wow, I couldn't do that. That was awesome, Andrew. I'm quite impressed with myself and, you know, bringing him my worship. And this lady over here, bless her, this older lady, she's just like abandoned in worship, like her arms just like out like this. And she's quite a tall lady and she's just singing at the top of her lungs, completely out of pitch. I think the song was David Ruiz's song, I will give you all my worship, I will give you all my praise. And so I'm singing my harmony part. She's singing like, I will give you all my worship. You know when people sing like all the same note for worship, but sometimes just out and just above. So, I will give you all my worship. So she's singing and really loudly. And so all the people around us are kind of like politely trying to keep on worshiping. A couple times I turned around like, could you keep it down? And trying despite, you know, in this ear, her like out of pitch yelling, trying to still keep my, you know, my harmony going strong for the Lord. And that went on for about like 30 or 40 seconds. And then the Lord arrested me, like stopped me. It was one of the times like I've encountered him so strongly. And I heard the Lord's voice just so strongly in my heart. And he's like, Andrew, when you're singing right now, it sounds to me like somebody going like this with a cymbal. Crash, 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 crash. But her, what she's singing to me, I'm like, oh, that's sweet. Oh, I like that. Oh, that's so good. But you, crash, 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 crash in my face. He's like, maybe you should just be quiet for a little bit and listen to her. So I sat down. had a little cry before the Lord. And God really started working on my heart in this. And he started saying to me, absolutely, Andrew, pursuing excellence in your craft, whatever your craft is, if it's teaching, if it's design, if it's being a musician, that blesses me because that's you being faithful with your gifts. But worship really, truly is about the heart. Jesus said the Father is looking for worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. And little did I know, I only found out a number of years later that she'd been going through hell. There's no better way to say it. Really, truly going through hell. And in the middle of that, she was bringing her worship. And in fact, that blessed God's heart way more than just me in my moment trying to impress him. God's not impressed by us. He loves us. I heard my mom say once, I think she was talking to my sister, that like, I think my sister was complaining about being cool or something to my mom. And my mom's like, you can't be cool. I changed your diapers. I've seen you at your worst. Did you know it's exactly the same way with God? Really, truly, we can't impress him. We can bless him, but we can't really impress him. I mean, if God's looking for excellence, he can be like, yo, angels, sing something in like 16-part harmony, and they'll do it. Really, truly. He can be like, hey, artist angels, paint me something with colors that have never been created yet. Go. And they'll do it. I mean, this is the guy that breathes out stars. So, I mean, me singing in harmony isn't the most amazing thing to him. But in some ways, he is blessed by that, if my heart's right. And it's the same with our lives, guys. It's the same with us every day and us bringing our gold and our frankincense and our myrrh. And Paul made it so clear to us. He laid it out so clear for us in Romans 12:1. Bring your whole life as worship. Bring your whole life as an act of worship. Bring it when we're all together and we're singing a song together. Bring it when you're frustrated and you're driving in traffic. Bring it when you're facing death. Bring it in the face of all of these things. Bring your life as worship. Not just a song and not just a harmony line, Andrew, but bring your life as worship. All of it. The stuff that's most important to you, the stuff that you're fighting with, and the stuff that's dying. This is what we're called to do. It seems so easy when I say it up here, doesn't it? But in fact, living this every day, I think this is the biggest thing we got to get in our Christian walk. And Paul started, I'm going to flip back there. Paul started let me just flip back here. Paul started in Romans 12:1 by saying, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. I talked about this a few weeks ago. but in view of God's mercy. The only way we can bring our gold and our frankincense and our myrrh of our lives is if we're living in the mercies of God, is if we're feasting on the goodness of God. If we know he's good, then we can bring him our best, because we know everything we bring him is piddly compared to what he's offering us. And we can bring him our intercession and come to him as our priest and not rely on ourselves, not be independent. And we can bring him our worst, because we know he continually gives us the best, right? Anyway, I'm just kind of stalling because Holy Spirit's still kind of like processing something. Why don't you guys stand to your feet? And Marcy, would you mind coming back up here? Anyway, so let's do some more corporate worship today, just for a bit. It's still early. It's still 11:40, so you can still get to mid-season time. But let's just spend some time and worship corporately together. And as we worship, I want you to let's make this personal as well. Let's focus on these three things. David Crowder is a songwriter, and sometimes we sing his songs here at church. And I read an article once that he wrote, and he was explaining the weirdness of corporate worship. Like, if when we all worship together, because there's like moments in corporate worship where we're all like, yes, all together, right? And there's moments in corporate worship where we're like, it's just me and him. And it is, strangely, isn't that weird? Sometimes we can be all in this room together and we're all together singing the same song, and sometimes it's just my song, even though it's all of us together. And he was saying, it's kind of like, you know, in those romantic comedies where there's always that scene where the couple are at the party and there's like a million things going on. There's music blaring and people are like walking around with drinks and people are talking to each other. And then there's that moment where their eyes meet from across the room and like all the music like stops and there's like, it becomes fuzzy around them. And then they see each other from across the room. Or maybe I'm just thinking of da 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 America. I'm thinking of, West Side Story. Anyway, but there's that moment, you know, where they have that connection in the midst of everyone else. They have this like this moment, and it's like that with us in corporate worship, that we're all together at the party celebrating, and yet there's these moments where it's just like eye to eye contact, you know. So let's worship him today. And can I challenge you to bring him the one that's the most difficult of these for today? I mean, if you're like, I totally need to give an offering. You can do that. I think we still have this bucket here. If you feel like you need to give an offering, if you need to have a good cry in his presence, do that. If you need to really like intercede about something, start praying. Come to him as your high priest, as the one who's made the way for you. And let's bring our lives as some worship today, okay?
Oh, come, let us adore.